Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What is happening, everybody? We're back again. Another episode, D&Ms with Dean. As always, recorded for the net from the Nest in Burley. Now, on this episode of the podcast, I sit down with a good friend of mine, Thomas Herman. Now, Thomas Herman is a wakeboarder from America that we met through a mutual friend, Corey Tunison. And I met him last year, and he's one of those people you meet that is just full of energy, full of life, loves every minute. I love every minute of being around this guy because he does lift you up just from how he carries himself. And I always enjoy being around those people that let you be yourself and let you be comfortable just from how they show up. So we've been talking about doing a podcast for a while. He was hyped. This is the second one he's done and he definitely didn't disappoint. But he's currently ranked around fifth in the world for wakeboarding, and he's over in Australia competing at the Moomba Festival in Melbourne. And he got fifth in that just before recording this podcast. But one of his greatest achievements and what he's kind of known for now is he's the first man to land a triple backflip on a wakeboard. Now, we talk about that and the mindset of going into something that has never been done before and the process of just getting beat down and beat down and beat down and overcoming that adversity to then obviously land it and in competition as well. And if you watch the video on his YouTube, his Instagram, which I'll link in the bio, you'll see the raw emotion of how it feels to actually pull it off and all the work that went into getting there. But really fun chat. He's a guy that you can feel the energy coming out of him when he speaks. So I really enjoyed this chat. I really enjoyed having him around for a little bit while he was in Australia. He's actually shot back to Florida now, but hopefully we'll come back soon. Before we jump into the pod though, quick word from the sponsors. If you guys are sick and tired of a million different pills in your morning routine, make it simple. One scoop of AG1 is full of 75 whole food ingredients. It's good for your gut health, good for your energy levels, good for your immune system, just good for everything. So go give it a try. I'll put a link in the description and you guys can get 5 free travel packs and a year supply of vitamin D. So give it a try. I always say I put in my smoothies, tastes great. You will be surprised by the taste. And yeah, get your morning started right and get your morning routine started right. So AG1. Now, guys, without any further ado, here's Thomas Herman, the triple backflip king. And I'm so excited, hey.
I'm so.
We got you on the pod. We got the triple king.
So locked in, bro.
We got Thomas on the pod. We finally done it. We were planning on getting you in with Corey as well, which we'll still do, I reckon.
Yeah.
But I thought about it. And I was like, you know, when you do a pod with a few different people, it's like you can't you'll tell your story, but it's also hard when you've kind of like bouncing off different people to actually like.
Yeah. Some stuff will get like lost in the compass.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it kind of spirals off a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. But
I'm so pumped to have you on. And I was going to say, because we met a year ago.
Yep.
At the, what was it? Good.
It was Cooper was doing a chat at the, I forget what it's called, that convention though.
It wasn't like Good Humans because that's Cooper's thing, but it's, what was it? It was like something good people.
I forget. We can't think of it now.
Saw Wim Hof.
Yep. Yep.
Who was the comedian we saw?
He was an Australian dude, yeah.
Jim Jefferies.
Yeah, that dude was funny.
And we had an absolute epic time. Yeah. But it was funny, man, because when I met you, it was like, you know, when you meet those people that make you be more yourself.
Yeah. And just like as soon as you meet them, you're just like,
yeah,
straight
away.
You're just boys.
Have you always been like that, where you can just connect with people straight away?
Yeah, for I feel like some situations, I'm like, it takes me like a second to get like in it, you know? But then there's like people that I feel like super comfortable with for sure.
If you always
especially been. Like all you guys are like best buddies with Corey too. And like, yeah, I'm like best buddies with Corey back in the States. So like just hopping in with you guys is so much fun. Sick.
But have you always been like that? Or was there a point where you're like, have you always been a ball of energy? Or have you been something you had to kind of like learn or build? Dude,
I feel like it just depends on the scenario. Cause I feel like nowadays too, I can still like be somewhere and just like be the person that like doesn't talk that much. But then other situations, I'm just like so hype. I don't know. Yeah, for sure.
Do you feel like that helps in competition when you're that, do you feel like you almost play a different role when you go into competitions? Because when you're that hype guy, it actually affects your riding in a positive way.
Yeah. I feel like in the contest, I get at least like, right before I like ride and stuff, I feel like I get like pretty like serious, like pretty like locked in, you know, like I'm not like before I go out and ride, I'm not freaking like hyping around, like talking to a bunch of people, you know, I'm like in my headphones, like trying to get locked in, you know, stay focused. But yeah, but it's a good time just like talking to everybody that comes out there, just like having good conversations and stuff. And all the boys are really cool riding with them. So it's fun.
Are you stressed in those situations or are you just locking in?
Dude, it just like
it's a balance. Sometimes
I feel like you always get like a little like nervous, but at the same time, like this past weekend, honestly, was like the most like confident. Well, sorry, actually, probably the double or nothing contest with the triple. I was just like so locked in for days, like I was so confident in it. And then I kind of felt the same thing with in this contest, where like in the past, I feel like I wasn't as much like locked in, but like I remember walking down to the contest last weekend. And I was walking with Corey and I was like, dude, like, I've like never like felt this like while like walking down. Like, there's just, I don't know. I feel like this year I'm like super motivated to do better in the contest and stuff. So I feel like I'm trying to flip a switch like in my mind and get more like locked in and like super confident. And I definitely like felt that in my riding this past weekend for sure too.
Well, you said going in as well that you changed your mindset from I want to do well to I know I can do well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like I was walking down to the dock with Corey and I was like, dude, I feel like I've like never like walked into a contest like thinking I could win this thing. And like that's how my mind was like walking down to the dock on last weekend. So it's pretty sick, yeah, for sure.
And that gives you that extra 5% you need.
Yeah.
Extra bit of confidence.
Yep.
When you go and you go, oh man, I could actually win this.
Yeah, 100%.
And you find that extra gear.
Yeah. And I felt like I rode so much better. Like honestly, this past weekend was probably, like, the most, like, solid riding that I've had in, like, a contest. Like, I don't know. I just felt, like, so, like, locked in, dude. You know, like, that, like, flow state that you hit, dude? You're just, like, yeah, when I was out riding, it was just, like, one trick at a time. Just, like, so focused on the moment, you know?
You feel like you can't put a foot wrong almost.
Yeah.
You're just in the zone.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Has there been anything changed going into this year different than in the previous years? Or do you just feel like you've just matured a bit?
Just, like, I feel like I'm just, like, ready to work hard. Like every year the goal is to, you know, do better and better in contests. I feel like I'm just ready to like lock in.
Just go to that point.
Just lock in and just give it all.
Because you're
give
only
it all this year.
You're only 21, hey?
Yeah.
So you're
pretty young.
What's like the average age for people that kind of start to peak in wakeboarding?
Probably, I just depend. There's some younger guys that are doing really good right now. But normally you're at your peak, like, I don't know, your career is normally in pro, like 18 years old to like, there's only like one guy right now that's 30. Normally you're out by that too though. So your peak is probably around like, yeah, like
20 to
like 24, 25. But I don't know, I feel like it just depends. Some guys are younger killing it. Some guys don't start killing it until they're around like, you know, like 23 or so.
It's pretty gnarly. We were watching the F1 last night, like Drive to Survive.
Yeah.
And these kids that are 21.
Yeah, it's wild,
19,
huh?
And you're like, the pressure, man, that you must be under being on F1 team with 250 people on your team watching you perform.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes I feel pressure, but imagine those dudes, dude. Like, yeah, what was it, Max Verstappen? He was like 19. Or he was like 20. Like
20, I think, yeah. 21, yeah.
Just driving around like a $10 million car.
And just crashing it like it's not a thing, and then
yeah, right. It's pretty wild.
When did you get into? Oh, jump in the wakeboarding stuff, but I also want to know as well, because I guess when you do something that becomes your identity of who you are. Mm. And I just want to ask you as well before we go too deep in the wakeboarding stuff. What's probably your biggest other passion outside of wakeboarding that you have that people might not know?
Oh, well, like, it kind of relates to wakeboarding, but, like, dude, just, like, making videos, like, just having fun, just, like, making whatever kind of videos. I remember I used to go, like, a lot harder in, like, the editing stuff when I was younger. It was funny, like, Corey's girlfriend, Lauren, and I were just scrolling through our Instagrams the other day, like, going way down, and, like, I used to go, like, so hard on, like, the editing, but I like, growing up, I loved, like, making videos, editing stuff, play the guitar a little bit. I want to play the guitar a lot more this year. It's pretty fun.
You're pretty good at that? Decent? Decent?
The thing is, I'll, like, learn a song, and I'll get it really good, and then I, like, won't play it for a couple weeks, and then I totally forget how to do it. So, if you whipped out a guitar, I could probably play, like, seven songs.
Well, lucky for you, I've got a guitar. No, I don't know. Imagine. Just play it out. Just do a little strum.
Just riz the audience up.
But it's funny because with any pro athlete, that becomes so much of their identity and what they do.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's just interesting to see when people, you step away from that, you're like, what else is, like, the thing that drives you?
Yeah. But it's think about, like, any athlete, like, if you're like, what does LeBron James do, like, in his free time? Like, you'd have no idea, you know? Like, everybody. You know, like, you really have no clue, like, what's going on behind the scenes.
And I think top athletes like that also like to protect their hobbies.
Yeah, keep it private.
Keep it private because that's their thing.
Yeah, for sure.
They've got a camera in their face every other day of the week. So when you get that time. But you said, editing videos, being creative.
Yeah.
And the creative side come out of you. That's where you get a lot of
A
lot of passion from.
Yeah, for sure. And then, I mean, just, like, hanging out with the boys, you know. Just doing whatever. Just having
cruising
fun.
Cruising around early.
Yep. But, yeah, dude.
Because I was going to say, with that would obviously, if you can make edits and of wakeboarding, it's like you're kind of combining the two in a way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Do you want, because you were saying before when we were talking about your kind of goals, and you obviously want to do better in competition and, like, grow that.
Yeah.
But also you just want to do really cool video parts.
Yeah.
And I guess push that as well. What's the like thinking behind that?
Yeah. So, like, which it's not as big nowadays. But, like, you know, like, skateboarding, snowboarding, like, video parts, like, a huge thing where you, like, you know, have a list of tricks that you want to get on video and kind of keep them a secret, and then, like, release a video at the end of the year and everyone's like, what? Like, all this crazy stuff. So it's definitely not as big of a thing nowadays, but it's definitely something that I, like, it'd be really cool, to do soon. It's like, just do a bunch of stuff that I haven't done, like, keep it on the down low and then, like, release it all.
And then just drop.
Yeah.
Just banger videos.
Yeah, it'd be sick.
Do you know who Brendan Semenuk is?
I don't think so.
He's a mountain bike guy, like a slope style guy.
Yeah.
And he was, like, best in the world, won a heap of competitions, and then he got so famous from doing that. And then he's like, I don't want to do competitions anymore. So he just do video parts.
Yeah.
But so well done, man.
Like, yeah, really?
So well. Like, better than anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, he's obviously, his writing's incredible and his style, but then they'd just go to, like, remote locations,
build
weeks.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of the path you could see yourself going down. He's like,
yeah,
but doing comps still, but then focusing hard on just really cool content as well.
Yeah, for sure. And the video parts is, like, a really separate thing than, like, Instagram content and stuff, you know?
More storytelling.
Yeah, for sure. Just like a big video to, like, showcase your riding and, like, your ability, you know, out there. Where, like, Instagram stuff, like, all that sort of, like, content is still, like, a big passion of mine. Mm. But I kind of, like, separate the two, you know?
Because I haven't actually seen it. I'm really annoyed at myself that I haven't actually watched it yet, because I remember when it came out, I was like, I need to watch this, and I haven't done it yet. But there was a kind of a documentary behind the triple flip.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's what you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'd be more of, like, a full video. Thing.
Cause it's a story that builds into that moment. Cause the actual trick takes 2 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then it's like the iceberg. It's all the stuff below that took to get there.
Yeah. 100%.
Do you want to, we'll talk about that, because world's first, world's only. Is that behind a boat or just in general?
Yeah, so there's been one guy, Cody Hess, that has done it off of a kicker, like behind a cable, pulling you above. I don't know if you've seen that stuff.
Yeah.
Mine was the first behind a boat.
How is the mindset going in to try and do something that has never been done?
Yeah, like, at the contest, like, the day that I did it, dude, I was, like, it's the most locked in I've ever been in my life, dude. It was such, like, a sick feeling, dude, like, just getting ready, like, just getting hype. Like, I was so confident and, like, so locked in. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to get that locked in again, for real. But then, yeah, just like just going out and trying it like before I landed it. There were some like long days, but same with that, dude. Like I would get, I remember the very first time I tried it, I was nervous like 2 days before. Like we planned a day to like go out and do it, and I was like, I was nervous for like the whole 2 days like before, and I was talking to my buddy. I was like, that's how you know a trick is scary, is when it's like you're about to do it 2 days away and you're like already freaking out.
That's a like you don't have any reference points.
Like, yeah. What do you mean?
Well, if someone else had done it, you could kind of study the like what they've done and be like, oh, well, he did it, so it's doable.
Yeah.
No one had ever done it like how you wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part is.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no teachers here.
Yeah, no, 100%.
You're setting the base.
Yeah, and that trick is, it's a very like high intensity trick and more of a trick that you like just have to huck. Like it's hard to think about like certain things that you have to do. Like, oh, like I got to. I don't even know, like edging a bit slower and all that stuff. Like it's, yeah, it's kind of hard to like nitpick like, oh, this is what I did wrong. It's more of a trick where you have to just like, just huck it every time, you know, and just hope it comes around good.
So how many attempts did it take you before you landed it?
It was the 30th attempt. And then, so I was telling you this last night though, 30 attempts, like it doesn't really seem like a whole lot, right? But, it was off the double up. So a double up is where the boat drives and then you do a really wide turn and cross over your own rollers. And then when those rollers time up, you hit it. So the wake is basically like double the size. But there were so many times where like I didn't get the perfect takeoff. It didn't look right or whatever. So I would do like double flips. And like, yeah, I'm not joking. Like I had to have done like hundreds of double flips just to get those 30 attempts. So just like beating up your body. Like every double up takes like 2 minutes to drive, you know, like it was just so, yeah, it was a lot that went into it for sure.
Because I think about that and it's always going to be different. Like that wake is always going to be slightly different.
Yeah.
You're never going to, like, I think, and Corey and Harry Bink were talking about this when he was doing his triple flip on a motorbike.
Yeah.
And he's like, the ramp doesn't change.
Yeah.
You can kind of lock into, well, I know how it's going to be, where you're coming into a wake that's always changing.
Yeah. You're working with water, so it's, you know, constantly moving. And every double up's going to be a little bit different and, yeah, a little unpredictable for sure.
How'd the body feel after some of those hits?
Dude.
Was there one that happened? So you're like, wrecked. Is this even worth it?
No, I always knew that I would keep trying it, but there were some for sure that I was just, yeah, just beat up on. I remember, yeah, just like in 2023, one of the attempts that I did, I just like, a couple of them were just like a crazy whiplash. And I'm telling you, like my neck has never been this sore. I remember waking up and like my neck was so sore that like my throat hurt. It was like all in like the front, dude. And I remember I went to my chiropractor chick. She was cracking me up and stuff. And then I was telling her that my neck was crazy sore. And she was like going like this, like digging into my neck. And I was just dying. I was on the table just like about to like scream, dude. So bad.
And then you're like, all right, let's go do that again.
Yeah. But no, I'd have to take like days off. I would take like at least like a couple days in between to recover up.
And then just go back and throw down again.
Sure.
Because I guess you want the consistency of keep trying, but also your body's not going to be able to like allow you to do that either.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I definitely made sure every time before I tried it, I was feeling pretty close to like 100% because it's like definitely not something that I wanted to mess around with for sure. Didn't want to get hurt.
How'd it feel when you landed it?
It is insane.
I've seen the video.
It's insane. Craziest day of my life, easily. Like, by far. Like, probably until, like, I have a kid or something. I don't know what's going to top that.
If you have a kid, you're like, okay, we beat it. We've finally done it now.
What if it doesn't? No. That'll be a special day, probably. So.
Cool, whatever. Like, if it's a girl boy, just call it triple either way.
Yeah.
It's my boy triple.
Yeah.
Because you saw it, man. Like, you saw when you landed it, and it's, like, it's so real. Like, mm-hmm. The excitement. You just, like, you're, like, in awe. And
dude, that was the whole, I had a whole plan, too. I was, like, whenever I land this thing, I'm just going to ride. I'm going to ride for at least, like, you know, like, 5 seconds, just, like, act like a gangster, you know? Just, like, boom, lay it down, just cruise. Literally, as soon as I landed it, hands up, like, oh. Yeah, it's just one of those things where you can't, like, contain it, you know?
Yeah, it's real.
Especially
though.
Something that like took like I was trying it for like 3 years, so it just like felt like all the hard work just like paid off. So it was sweet.
How
it was an awesome moment, and everyone, it was in a contest, which made it that much better. So everyone that was involved in the industry, all my best friends, wakeboarders and stuff, were there to see it. So it was really cool. Really cool day, feeling the love for sure.
Yeah, dude, so much emotion poured into 2 seconds, hey?
Yeah, right.
So much pain, so much emotion, yeah. So much everything into a 2 second trick where you're just flying through the sky.
Yeah, and I would do it 100 times over to experience that feeling again.
Yeah, because we were saying, if I'm like, are you going to do it again? And you want to, but then it's like that whole thing where you've, what's it worth kind of thing to you? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, do you think, because will you get that same emotion back, or will it be different, or will it be worth it kind of thing? Because now you know you can.
Yeah, for
that,
sure.
That confidence has obviously got to help you do it again.
Yep.
But then also it's, you probably have to go through, like, how likely do you reckon it'd be if you tried it again to land it first go? Or do you reckon it would?
I don't know. It just depends. Honestly, so much goes into it. Like, you gotta get enough kick off the double up, have enough, like, speed rotating, be tucked enough. And it's really just, like, when all those things line up, it's going to go down. So it's kind of hard to tell. Because, like, so many times you hit double ups and you don't get the right kick, you don't, you know, get the right momentum. But no, I definitely want to try it again.
Is anyone else trying to line it up that you know of?
Yeah, so there's a guy named Kai. He actually rode right after me in the contest, and he went out and tried it. And I was like, because I was like so hyped, like looking at the video of mine. And then someone said Kai just tried to triple, and I like looked over. I was like, what? So he was hucking him. And yeah, after he got done riding, I was like, have you been trying that? And he was like a little bit. And he showed me a video, and he had one that was like real close that he showed me.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm interested to see, yeah, if he's gonna put it down or what, dude.
That would have been, well, I wonder if, would he have known that you were going to try it?
Yeah, yeah, everyone knew, yeah. I put it out there that, like, that's what I was going to be trying. Everyone kind of expected it.
Yeah.
But no one expected, like, I don't think no one knew that he was trying it, besides his friends. Like, I had no clue he was trying it.
Do you think that's a good and a bad thing sometimes, when you tell people you're going to do something, because then you kind of got to do it?
I mean, I was going to do it all along, so I was like, I might as well put it out there, dude, get some hype around this thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, because that's the thing. It's like, if you tell people, oh, I'm doing this thing, well,
yeah,
now I'm going to do it.
Yeah, yeah. But I knew it myself that I was going to do that at that contest from day one, so.
Dude, it's that confidence, hey. Have you always been that confident that, okay, I want to do something, I can do it? Because that's not normal, man, to have. And this is the thing, I think we hang out with a lot of, like, world champions, world first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not normal.
Yeah, for sure.
To just go, oh, hey, I'm going to try something that literally no one else in the world has ever done.
Yeah.
And convince yourself that you're going to do it.
Yeah,
like, for sure. That's such a powerful tool to use, because, again, you have no reference. You have no one that has said, oh, no, it's too. It's like, it's when people say it's impossible and you go, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Watch this.
Yeah.
And then you actually do it.
Yeah.
Have you had that mindset all your life? And if you have, where did you kind of get it from?
Yeah, I think just growing up, playing sports, like, I wrestled for a long time. Like, every time I went into, like, a wrestling match, like, you're going in there, like, you know, knowing you're going to win, being, like, super confident. And then, yeah, just wakeboarding as well. And, like, when you're progressing your riding and wakeboarding and you're learning new tricks, like, you have to be confident, and you have to know in yourself, like, you can land this, or, like any trick. Or else I feel like, yeah, you kind of, like, doubt yourself, and you probably aren't that likely to, like, land it, you know?
What's your process when you want to learn a new trick? Like, what's the, okay, I want to try this. How do you kind of build up to it? Because it's kind of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So at least, I'm trying to think, like, 3 years ago, I learned most of the double flips. And I remember two of them that I learned. I literally said, I was standing next to the wake, and, you know, you do, like, a couple, like, single flips, get in the groove, feel it out. But I would literally say to myself, I'm probably going to eat shit right now, and it's probably going to hurt a lot, but we just have to get the first one out of the way. So I remember just repeating that to myself, cutting out, and just hucking these double flips. And the first one, I more than likely, like, died on, and then just got back up and just tried it again. But I think learning a new trick, it's so important to just get that first one out of the way. Because as soon as you get that first one out of the way, it's like, all right. Like, you kind of get, like, a weight, like, lifted from your shoulders, you know? And you're like, all right, like, now where do we go from here? Like, what did I do wrong? And then kind of break it down from there.
You kind of remove the fear, hey.
Yeah, exactly. Which there's always fears in the next try, but just I feel like getting that first one out of the way.
Yeah, you can't.
Is there anything on like a mountain bike like that? Like,
I think it's if you're trying to gaff or something or trying a sketchy line.
Yep.
And you kind of like, you know, you can do it. Yeah. You've got the confidence to know, but the first time you do it, you're like,
yeah,
I don't know what the pop's going to be like. I don't know what the speed's going to be like. Yep. And then you pull it and it's easy. You're like, oh, yeah. And then the second time is not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then after that, it's like, yeah, definitely not as scary for sure. Mm. Yeah.
It's crazy how confident, how easy something seems after like the second or third time.
Yeah.
Like there'll be a gap that everyone's like, fuck, man, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And it gets, everyone's in their own head, and then someone will pull it and you go, well, you can do it now. And then you'll do it. And the second time you're like, oh, this is sweet. And then by the time you race it, man, you're so locked in that you're not, you can't, it's like you can't think about anything else but just doing it.
Yeah. 100%.
Think about the repercussions, the what if, the none of that. Yep. It's like, I just need to lock in and do this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, it's like same thing in wakeboarding. Like the more you do something, the more reps you get in. Obviously, like, the less scary and easier it becomes.
Mm. I like what you said there, though, that before you did it, you're like, this is probably going to suck.
Yeah.
But you, like, that's
just accepted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's most things, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to try this new thing that I've never done before. You're going to suck at it.
Yeah. 100%.
But embracing that.
Yep.
And being okay with it.
Yeah.
And then learning.
For sure.
And then going on to the next.
Yeah. Which it's definitely a scary thing at first. Once you get it out of the way. Smooth.
What's the scariest thing you reckon you've ever done? Doesn't have to be wakeboarding.
Well, wakeboarding, triple flip for sure, dude. Like, you're cutting into those things just like...
What are we going to do? Outside of wakeboarding, though, what's the scariest thing you've done outside of wakeboarding?
Dude. I don't even know about scary, bro. I might have to come back to that. I got to think like, I've never been like bungee jumping sky. I want to go skydiving, but I'd be scared. I'd be scared to do that.
Sure, especially
telling stories. What about you? What's your scariest thing?
It comes back to when I was laying on the ground in America, was probably the most scared I've ever been.
That
was
thing. Yeah,
when I didn't know. And I thought my life had changed.
Yeah.
That thing, it's like, even if, I guess the scary part was thinking if this is me now, like if I get, to not to be out, like, I thought I was a quadriplegic or like, I thought, like, okay, this is me, I'm out.
Yeah.
And then the scary point was like, do I want to live like this? But then also understanding the fact that I had no control.
Yeah.
If I, like, it's pretty fucked to think you're trapped in your own body.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't want to be here anymore, besides maybe I'd just stop eating or like something like that would be the only real way you could kind of go out. So that was probably the scariest. And then I guess just it's like you have these two options. It always comes back to like hero or victim kind of thing. And I guess in that moment it was like, okay, I either can be a victim here or I can use this. And like, imagine being the person that got dealt such a shit hand of cards and then just had the biggest smile on their face. Like how much that can affect other people. Because the whole thing, it's like, well, look what he's gone through and he's still happy.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's like, you kind of got to, that was the self-talk in those moments. I guess that helped me. It's like, I've been given a tool now to, I guess, try and help people through how shit this is. But
Well, I feel like I'm the same way in like a lot of things in life. It's just like, if something happens, like, I always just say to myself, like, it is what it is. Like, how are we going to make this positive, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
It's hard in the moment sometimes, but over time, kind of like, oh yeah, I see what that was there for, or what I need to do from that.
Stuff always happens in the moment and it sucks, but like, it's over, it's in the past, it is what it is. So like, what are you gonna do now, you know?
I was gonna ask you, how did you and Corey meet up? How did that become a thing,
dude? So I didn't even, it's actually pretty funny. So my first 3 years ago, my first pro contest, I was in Corey's heat, and I've never, like, I don't think I've ever like talked to him in person before. Obviously, like, I knew who he was, like, I followed him and stuff. Like, I used to be in high school watching YouTube videos, I would always watch Corey's videos. He was like the sickest rider. He still is the sickest rider, dude. But yeah, I never like really like talked to him much, but it was my first pro contest. We were in the same heat and I ended up beating him in the heat. So I won the heat and he got second.
How was that?
And then moment? I think he like texted me. He's like, good job today or whatever, like good job this weekend. And then that was like right when I moved to Florida. And then I started riding with his past roommate. His name was Jake. So I started going over to their house and riding with Jake a lot. And then Corey was there, so we all three just started riding together. And then I was like, so, like, when my lease is up in a couple months, like, can I move in here or what? And Corey was like, dude, come on, let's go. So, yeah, I just moved in, like, after, like, a year of hanging out with them and stuff. And, yeah.
How was that feeling of having someone you looked up to and then beating them?
Yeah, it was wild, dude. Especially, yeah, especially, like, my first pro contest. It's a big step up from the junior pro division to the pro division. So it was I was going in there like, these guys are crazy riders. And I definitely like had a lot of work to do to get to their level. And then, yeah, it was insane. Winning the heat was, yeah, wild for sure.
Did you not expect it?
No, not expected at all. I remember going in, actually, like my first like whole year of the pro, I just had like the mindset of like, I'm just going to go, you know, try to ride the best I can, have fun with it. And, you know, we make some finals, do whatever. That's sick, you know? And I ended up making like a decent amount of finals, I think, that year, which is pretty sweet.
It's funny, that mindset should just be the mindset all the time though, hey?
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
It changes though when you get more competitive.
Yeah, well, yeah, 100%. Yeah, like now I feel like I'm so different now, for sure.
But really, it's like, then you lose track of that why you started doing it.
Yeah, 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 100%.
Like, it's a fun, how we go is how we go.
Yep, yeah.
Let's get some finals, let's enjoy ourselves.
Yep.
But then you get to that point, which is good and bad, because then it's like you get more competitive. You're, yeah, like, oh, I can win.
Yeah, but it shifts when you get to a point when you know you have the potential to be, you know, like one of the top guys.
I think
or whatever it is,
expectation from yourself and then outside sources definitely alter how you show up in events like that.
Yeah,
because everyone's like, well, he's gonna win or he's gonna throw down, and then you're, yep, like, well, I need to throw down.
Yeah, 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 100%.
And it can play on your mind.
Yep.
So,
but that is a big thing that I definitely try to show in my riding, though, is just keeping it fun. Like, so many people come up to me, like, and they're like, dude, like, you're just smiling the whole time when you're riding. Like, you make it look like so much fun. And I think that's the coolest thing, because it is fun, you know? And that's why we all started to do it. And I feel like as soon as you start to lose track of that, it's like, it becomes more of like a job than like a, you know, like your passion.
Yeah, you start questioning it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, why am I here? Yeah. Why am I doing this?
Yeah, at some point, I feel like some people don't. Yeah, they lose the fun in it for sure.
How old were you when you started?
I think I first got up when I was like 5 years old. So my dad just did it as a hobby. And we didn't grow up on the lake or anything in Indiana, but my grandparents lived on the lake. So that's like all there is to do in the summer in the Midwest, is just everybody goes in the lakes. So I got into it when I was like 5. My dad got me a wakeboard.
Did they push you at all to get into it, or were they just like doing it for fun and you kind
of? No, my dad, like, he just did it as a hobby. Like, he could do some 180s and stuff. Never did a flip. Tried a couple. It was sick. But yeah, he was just doing it for fun and just got me into it. And then we started just doing like local contests and stuff for a couple of years. And then the years after that, we went to some bigger contests. And then that's when, like, I met a ton of friends. They all lived in Florida. So my parents and I, we'd go to Florida and wakeboard, train there. Yeah, kind of just like as the years progressed, just like got more and more into it.
It sounds really like nostalgic though, because every time you go out, you'd be with your family.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, yeah, that's how I grew up. Just boat days with the family, you know, wakeboarding, tubing. We used to tube behind my...
I was going
to
say, talk about the tube. Dude, yeah. That thing is deadly.
Dude. Like, you guys call it a biscuit, huh?
Yeah, biscuit or tube, which, yeah, kind of both, but yep, a death trap. Kind,
yeah,
of. I feel like there's some sadistic parents out there that I know dads, and
yeah,
looking back, I'm like, dude, we got so whiplashed.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, you get worked, man.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously do the double up thing on, yeah, the biscuit, yeah, yeah, and you get slung.
Yep.
Oh, bro.
Dude, I was at a photo shoot. Yeah. A photo shoot for the boat company that I ride for, Supra and Moomba. I was at the Moomba shoot. And I was tubing with my buddy Cody for the shoot. And Reed Hansen was driving around and, like, whipped us into our own rollers. Dude, I'm telling you, I could barely get out of bed the next couple of days, dude. My back was, like, shot. It was insane.
Yeah, I've retired the tubes.
Yeah.
All the biscuits.
They're pretty scary, honestly.
They're so scary. Especially when you got two men and you jump into each other. Like, it's...
Yep.
Oh, yeah. They're yeah. No, for sure. Not a thing.
Have you seen the big tubes that
like take off?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think those are like illegal now, though.
Really?
Yeah, that like fly into the air like they're crazy high.
It's pretty hectic.
Yeah.
You'd probably die if that, if you...
Yeah, dude.
Come off at speed.
There's some videos of people getting like slammed. Yeah, it'll just like catch the wind.
Because they catch the wind and dive down, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing. Yeah, let's not promote that.
Yeah, I think some kid like broke his neck or something. But I swear, I think they like banned them. Maybe like, I don't know about here.
I haven't seen them anymore, but I'm not really looking for them either. But maybe we'll look that up. I wish we had someone to just look up these things right now. We could do a little like...
Yeah. Hire someone.
Need some guy in the corner.
Yep.
So where... What... is the ranking at the moment, where would you be kind of placed for wakeboarding in the world, I guess?
Yeah, so there's two tours, like two different kind of like sets of competitions. There's the Pro Wakeboard Tour, which is ran by Supra, and then there's the Nautique World Series, which is put on by the WWA, like the World Wakeboard Association. And 2 years ago, I got eighth in both of them. And then last year I got fifth in both of them. So I've been able to stay like, I stay like the same in each one.
Third, then first.
Which is pretty crazy actually. Yeah. So yeah, I got fifth in both of those last year. So fifth overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's those series are probably like the best representation of like how you'd determine like the best riders in the world for sure. Cause it's a series of events and like, yeah, you have like an overall score at the end of the season. So it kind of like, it's kind of like your average, you know?
Mm. What's it like in the wakeboard world as well? Because I know a lot of perception of, especially in the mountain bike world, it's like, oh, you're a World Cup racer. You must be making heaps of money. It must be like booming. And then the reality is it's a lot harder than people kind of think.
Yeah.
Is that similar in the wakeboard world where if you're not like 1, 2, 3, it's not as easy as people might think?
Yeah, for sure. I think the people that you're consistently seeing on the podium, like those top three guys, they're probably making the most money. Yeah. Especially like Corey and some of those other guys. It was a bit like, because they're a bit older than me, it was a bit different back in the day. Like nowadays it's super hard to, you know, get new sponsors and stuff, where back in the day it was a lot bigger of a thing and probably like a little bit easier to, obviously you had to be, you know, an amazing rider and doing good in competitions and all that stuff, but definitely more companies into it. So like guys like Corey, they got, you know, like locked in when they were younger and then able to grow these like amazing relationships throughout these years. So they're like super locked in yet now, you know,
it's just harder to break in now. It's just money in this. That's most places though, like, with extreme sports. It just seems like it's not as booming as it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, yeah, like overall, I think like water sports is bigger than it has ever been, but the companies are really struggling.
What do you reckon you do to change it? To kind of, what would you do looking at the sport as a whole, or how do you think it could be made better?
I think the one thing, because, so if you went to a competition 10 years ago, like, you're barely able to move. There's that many people there. Just on the banks, just fill, right? And nowadays, there's some contests that, you know, barely anyone shows up to. I think that's probably, part of it's probably because they can, you know, sit and, like, watch it back afterwards through, like, a video or through, like, a live stream or whatever. But I think something that could be really cool is if you, like, Moomba is the coolest event. It's the biggest event of the year for sure because there's something else going on, right? There's a festival there. People are walking by and then they see a wakeboard and they're like, oh, what's this? And then they go over and look at it. So it'd be really cool to have like a music festival or something going on like during the competition. Supra and the Pro Wakeboard Tour are doing an amazing job. They've set up the past couple of years, like moto guys will come out, do jumps, like BMX, skateboarders. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Making whole event.
Yeah, definitely getting better though, for sure.
It's crazy to me, though, that the biggest event of the whole year is in Australia.
Yeah, it's
but
sick.
All the money and everything would be in the States.
Yeah.
The industry as a whole would be mainly in the States. But then you say you come to Australia and they have one of the best wakeboarding events.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of doesn't make sense
to me. Yeah, I don't even know.
It's kind of a bit of a trip, hey?
I don't know. They just set this one up so good.
But you think if they do way more like more of like an expo festival style thing.
Yeah.
And then the wakeboarding is almost like a side piece to that, but it also is the thing at the same time.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be the goal.
Yeah, yeah.
And there'd be places.
Obviously. I think that'd be the best way to draw people in. I don't really know any other way.
Are there most of the events in America on lakes or in rivers?
Yeah, lakes. Almost. Actually, I think this is the only contest on the river of the year. Yeah.
That's probably a part of it as well, because the viewing would only be like kind of one-sided, I guess.
Yeah. It? Yeah, on a lake. It kind of depends what lake. Some of them are super small that we go on, and then some of them are really big. So, yeah, it's like one-sided.
Mm.
But also, people, like there was a couple events last year where people could bring their boats, and they kind of like tie up and make a line on the other side. So it's pretty cool.
Do you find as well it's a sport where you're always around people? Like you never wakeboard alone.
Yeah.
Have you felt that's been something that's like drawn you to stay in it and enjoy it so much?
Oh, you mean even outside of competitions?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like you never by yourself.
Yeah, no, never. Yeah. Yep. And we have the perfect setup in Orlando, like at Corey's house. We're best friends with all of our neighbors. All of our neighbors wakeboard. That's like, I probably wakeboard the most with my neighbors. And it's all just like a big hangout, you know? We just cruise the days by, just go on the boat, you know?
Was that complete fluke or was that planned in some way?
No, I think it was kind of like fluke. Yeah. Because I think they moved in like 3 years ago, or I don't even know, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, talking about Florida.
Dude, Florida's the best. You can do whatever you want.
Talk to me about Walmart in Florida.
Yeah, Walmart.
People have told me to go there. If you want to see real America, go to Walmart in Florida and you will see
America. Yeah. Some of them are all right. There's one like really close to my house. That's wild. It's crazy. Like you'll see all sorts of different people. This Walmart right by my house in the parking lot. You know, when like people like have their carts or whatever, what do you guys call them? You call them something different.
Shopping cart.
Oh yeah. Never mind.
Trolleys.
Yeah. Trolleys. They'll just leave them out, dude. In this Walmart, like, all over the place. It's the craziest thing ever. I've never seen it anywhere else.
Have you ever seen anyone walk like an alligator? I heard that's a thing in Florida. People have like alligators on like leads.
I don't think I've seen that one, dude.
Really?
Like on all fours?
Yeah, I think they've got like a thing over its mouth so they can't bite people, but they'll full walk their alligators.
Oh, walk their alligators. I thought you were saying people walk like alligators.
No.
Like they're on all fours.
I love how when you've heard me correctly, you're not even shocked by it. You're like, that's the thing.
No. I've never seen anyone walk on their alligator.
But if you had, it wouldn't be a shock to you.
You might like double look it for sure. I'd probably definitely do a double take. Probably a triple take. Probably pull out my phone, take a picture. IG story, this is so Florida.
But would you... Hashtag Florida.
Yeah.
But you would be like shocked.
I'd probably just be like, it's a bit crazy.
What do you think the biggest difference?
You see a lot of crazy things though, for sure.
What do you think the biggest difference between America and Australia is? You find?
Dude, probably like in the States, like you can find a lot of like areas that have like really nice people. But I feel like everyone in Australia is just like super nice and like super down to like earth. It's like, it's hard to explain too, is people here are very like healthy and like super and like they're like wellness and like mental health and stuff. It's pretty sweet, you know?
It's so crazy you say that. And then the biggest killer of men under 40 in Australia is suicide.
Is it?
And mental health. Yeah. Mental illness.
It's funny. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I like hang around you guys and all you guys are like super like open. You know what I'm saying?
Oh no. Like I fully agree with you. When you come to the Gold Coast, man, everyone is so but it is just crazy. I guess it is just places as well. Like I feel like this.
Yeah.
The Gold Coast is definitely on the higher. A guy came on the other day and we were kind of talking about that. And he's like, you definitely find more random acts of kindness on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
It's just people.
Dude, it's sick
seem
here,
more
dude.
Giving, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And dude, like everyone wakes up at like 6:30, you know, like go gets a cup of coffee from the local spot, goes for a walk on the beach, you know, it's just a vibe.
It feels just like a vibe. Do you have like a TV show in America? It's called Neighbours in Australia, and it's like these people all live in this neighborhood and everyone's friends and they're always like waving to people down the street and everyone kind of knows everyone. It's probably maybe like, what's that show that Will Smith was the Prince of Bel-Air?
Oh, yeah.
And you know how, like, they're obviously friends in the neighborhood and everyone knows them, right? It kind of feels like Burley feels like that to me now.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be at a coffee shop, you wave to your friend, you know, like, everyone's so actually connected.
Yep.
But then there's always new people coming in as well. But the other day I was just at a coffee shop and, like, a friend rode past on a Vespa and I'm, like, waving to her and her friend. And then this other person came that was just at the gym, you chat to them, and it's like,
you realize
how friendly and how nice everyone is here. Yeah. And it's, I think when you get used to something, it doesn't seem as, not crazy, but it just becomes normal.
Yeah.
But then if you come in and you see that, it's just like, well, everyone here is actually so nice.
Yeah.
Like, so incredibly nice.
Yep.
And then I guess,
once you get used to it, like, sometimes you, like, step back and you're like, whoa, like, it's a pretty cool place that I live in, you know?
Mm. No, it's epic. You got any plans? Are you just going to keep coming back for the event? Or could you see yourself coming over here for a bit longer?
I was literally talking to Corey the other day. It'd be so sick to come over here for, like, I don't even know.
Forever.
Like, yeah. Just, it'd be so sick to come over for, like, 2 or 3 months, dude.
Because
Corey's like, dude, stay longer.
Change your flight, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
What's at home? It's always going to be there. Got to get home and walk your alligator.
Yeah, yeah. My gator's been waiting to eat.
What's it been like? Because last year you came over and you obviously had a girlfriend when you came over. How's it been competing and focusing on training and trying to balance a relationship? Have you felt like that's been a hard thing to balance, or have you been pretty good with that so far?
No, are you saying how was I with a girlfriend and then now without?
Just trying to, when you were, like, competing to have a girlfriend and try and compete at, like, a top level, how did you find balancing those things?
Yeah, well, I feel like it's hard to compare it because I feel like this year I have, like, a different mindset. So it's not like I was in, like, the same mindset, you know? Like, I feel like I'm a lot focused more this year, but I'm not saying I wasn't focused when I had a girlfriend, you know? Even with the girlfriend in the past, like, I would still, you know, like, make sure my wakeboarding's a priority, make sure I'm, you know, getting, like, training in and all that sort of stuff for sure. Especially when you're wakeboarding too, it's like you don't think about that other stuff, you know? Like, when you're out riding, like, it's like there's one goal, and that's to, you know, train hard, do the stuff you're supposed to do, and, like, you don't even think about other things going on. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's just, there's always going to be energy exchange when you've got another person.
Mm-hmm.
But that's funny how you said, like, you feel a bit more locked in.
Yeah.
And I think, not always, but sometimes it's hard to lock in like that when there is another person that you do really care about, that you've got focus on and have energy. I'm like, oh, are they okay? Are they doing all right? Do I need more of my time? So I just wondering how you balance that, especially your
competition. Yeah, no, like, yeah. She would come to contest. She would come on the bill all the time. Like, yeah.
That's one good thing. You're really in that sport. You can have a girlfriend that is right there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And it's crazy with different sports how you, like, the disconnect from, and I guess one thing I am jealous about wakeboarding, like, when I was mountain biking, like, no one would ever see me ride.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yep.
Besides, when you're at a World Cup and there's a camera on you for your entire run, or some people watch you go past the end, or, like zoom, 2 seconds.
But that's true, huh? But I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Because I always told people, like, it was super isolating to do it because I was just always by myself.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, I'm going for a ride by myself.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to the gym by myself. Like, I'm doing that. Where you're like, I'm going on the boat with my family, with my girlfriend, with the homies.
Yep.
So it's just a completely different world.
Yeah, 100%.
In that sense. And that's why I thought it was cool when you mentioned, like, your upbringing was always on the boat with your family.
Mm.
And, like, that's such a cool thing to grow into becoming a professional at something with your entire family there watching. Like, that's such a cool feeling to have.
Yeah, 100%.
But so...
Did your parents, like, ride bikes at all or anything?
My dad rode motorbikes growing up. And he,
like, you, like, you guys would go and, like, ride together and stuff, yeah?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, we would ride a little bit together, but not... I think it's, like, when you get better at something, you come to that point where, like, you... I couldn't train with my friends because they, like, your level exceeds theirs. And if I'm riding with them, I'm not pushing myself. So like, you either ride with people that are as good or if not better.
Yeah.
Or if you ride with people that are worse, you kind of, you're not pushing yourself enough.
Yeah.
So
you go out alone a lot.
I used to, yeah.
Really?
Especially when I moved up to Queensland, I pretty much rode by myself all the time.
Yeah, dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never even thought about that. It's pretty,
You just get bored, man. You just get in your own head.
Yeah.
And I think as a person that, which I know, like, I crave connections with people. That's the whole reason I'm getting so heavily invested into podcasting, because like this last couple of weeks, I've met like so many new people.
Yeah.
And kind of chatted to them and explored what they've done and how they tick and how they want to help other people or themselves or have something that I can take out of it.
Yep.
And I look at that and like that's what I valued more than just going out into the forest and ride my bike around.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's sick.
You have that shift.
Yeah, it's so sick.
And that's like, I think everyone has a shift at some point when they go, okay, I want to focus on something new or something different.
Yeah, the bigger picture.
Yeah, and then backing themselves enough to actually do it and not just keep doing the thing.
Yeah, for sure.
What's,
I thought it was pretty cool what you said about, you know, like riding with people that are, you know, better than you and stuff. Cause that was a huge thing. Like when I moved in with Corey, it's crazy. Like when you see Corey, and a few of the other guys ride, like the consistency level is nuts. So like, I like just got into pro and then like riding, with Corey, and I also rode with a guy named Nick Rappa a lot. Riding with those guys that first year that I was in pro, I feel like was a huge game changer. And it was, yeah, riding with guys better than you, obviously they're going to push you. And I feel like I improved my riding a whole lot, spending a lot of time with Corey for sure. Even nowadays, like, yeah.
I think it comes.
Corey's still a way better contest rider than I am. And like, yeah, I feel like I learn from him all the time. And it's still insane watching him ride.
Comes back to that reference of, oh, he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
It's like big brother kind of
thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Did he feel like he kind of played that role of like big brother when you kind of came into the house?
Yeah, I think so. And he'll get like hard on me for sure. Like I remember there was some set, like some times when we were riding last year. And I was like, dude, I might be done. And then he was like, no, like do these tricks and then you're done. And he would like make me do them. And it's sick, dude. Like, it's so sick to have, like, someone like that, like, pushing you, you know?
You need that sometimes, though.
Yeah.
You need it, like, nah.
Yeah. This, for sure.
Because you know you need to do it.
Yeah.
You know you need to make it happen.
Yeah. Sometimes you're like, oh, like, bro, come on.
And it's also that thing.
But you know, like, it's out of love.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so good with you because you're not directly competing against them.
Yeah.
And it's like, you are the, like, your best is going to win. You don't have to take the other guy out. You know, you're not stealing his lines. You're just
doing your
best.
Yep.
So I feel like that makes for such a like healthy competitive sport.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what you've obviously got with Corey.
Yeah.
Because he comes over and he lives with you for 4 months, 5 months of the year.
Yeah, probably like 5 months.
How's the difference?
It's his house. I live with him. But I'm in the house more than he is.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm in it year round. Yeah.
And what's it almost like? Does it feel different from when you're hanging out with him in Australia compared to hanging out with him in America? Does it feel slightly different? Like Australian Corey versus American Corey?
I don't think that much. Like the only thing in America is we just like ride a lot more because we live like right on the lake there. So it's like that's all we do, you know, like every single day, like we're going out and riding and stuff. But like hanging out wise, no, I feel like it's pretty much the same. Maybe we're doing like more hanging out here because like I'm an Australian, like we want to go like do fun stuff while here.
Yeah, I get you.
But yeah, I think he's pretty much the same.
Pretty similar.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you after the trip where you landed that, there obviously would have been a lot of attention, a lot of hype. How did you go dealing with that? Because you got a boat sponsor after that as well.
No, I had a boat sponsor that first year.
Oh, you heard?
The year. Yeah, 2023 is my first year riding for Supra boats. Yeah. But they believed in me before the hype.
They knew it was coming. But then after, how did you deal with that extra, I guess, hype that came with it? Did you feel like you had to show up more or did it give extra pressure? Or how did that actually affect you once you kind of, because there was obviously a lot of noise around when you landed that.
Yeah. No, I feel like, it was great, you know, from like exposure standpoint. Definitely feel like that helped me, you know, solidify and like establish my name more in the industry. I don't feel like pressure from people, but like now, like I'm thinking of like if I was going to compete right now, like I don't feel like I have like a certain like pressure on me from like people or companies or whatever. I feel like I just have like a pressure on myself because like I just want to, you know, do good in these this year.
Mm.
That makes sense?
Yeah, I get you. Because it would have had
I'm more. Just doing my thing, dude. I'm just going with the flow, you know.
But there would have been more eyes and cameras and people like asking and like it would have changed. How was that feeling? Because obviously you can get, like, it can be amazing. Because it's like, man, like, you feel like the man, but then sometimes feeling like the man, you're like, fuck, I gotta keep being the man. But you're like, nah, I'll just keep being me.
Yeah, dude, just go with the flow, and if people like it, they'll follow along. If not, whatever.
What's your life motto? Is that just go with the flow?
Yeah, I am pretty go with the flow. I'm pretty go with the flow kind of guy. Just have fun, dude. Yeah.
That's the goal.
But no, definitely, dude, I remember, after the triple, because boat shows are a big thing. Like, there's boat dealerships, and then they'll go to, like, boat shows and, like, convention centers and, like, try to sell boats and stuff. So that's a big thing that, like, I did in, like, January and February. But there's so many people, like, walking up to me at the boat shows, like, talking, like, knew who I was and that sort of stuff, like, way more than, like, before. Dude, it was so funny. This one kid, I was running a guy through a boat. Like, I was trying to sell this guy on this boat. And this kid came, like, ripping up the platform of the boat. He was like, "Are you Thomas Herman?" And I was like, "Yeah, bro, what's up?" And he was like, "Dude, I'm freaking out. I'm shaking." And I was like, "What's up, dude?" And then he was like, "Can I get a picture?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he, like, pulled out his phone. He was like, taking a picture. I was like, "What's up?" So I finished, like, running the guy through the boat, and then, like, went and, like, talked to the kid forever. It was sick.
The guy by obviously probably brought the boat then.
What?
The guy by the boat?
I don't think so, dude. He should have after that.
I was going to say, like, you got this kid coming up shaking. Yeah, I know, right? You're like, man, by the boat.
Yeah, but I thought it was pretty crazy, though, like, because I've never seen, like, anyone like that hype before over me, you know?
That effect that you can actually have on someone.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Just from doing what you're doing. Yeah. It's powerful, man. Yeah. It's super powerful, the effect you can have on people just from doing your thing.
Yeah, for sure.
We were going to say, because you're getting into coaching more as well.
Yeah.
And we were saying that it was funny, when you were pricing yourself for what your skills are to coach, when you first started doing it, you were almost shocked by people paying for you to teach them.
Yeah.
But then you go out there and you're like, oh, well, I'm actually, like, I'm really good at this and I can actually help people. Yep. And it's that funny thing where we devalue our skills because it's just something we've always done.
Yeah.
But then you can advance people. How is that feeling of, and now how you said you feel more confident with asking for more because you actually have more of an idea of what value you give?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, a couple of years ago, I had no clue what I was doing. And I'd do it for pretty cheap for sure. And then I had some conversations with some people and I was like, "You're charging what? You're going there for how many days? Like, this is insane." Like, some of these dudes are walking away from a trip making, like, 20 grand. I was like, what? I kind of, like, set a new price. And, we were talking the other day. The first time I, like, sent it out to someone, I was, like, freaking out. I was like, no way I just, like, said that price to them. Like, they're going to say no. And then, like, they're like, yeah, let's do it, you know? So,
You think about how long it's taken you to accumulate those skills.
Yeah, 100%.
And, like, you can't fake that. Like, you just got to put in the reps.
Yeah. And it's also, like, I don't know about you, but, like, growing up, like, I mean, I was coached for, like, I don't even know, like, 8 or 9 years, you know? So it's, like, just there's so much knowledge that I've heard over the years. And I feel like at first when you're coaching, you know, you might not be, like, the greatest, but, like, the more and more you do it, the better you get. So I feel like now I'm very good at, like, taking all the knowledge that I've gained and then now being able to help people.
What's the biggest thing that you see in people, or, like, what's the biggest, I guess, overall lesson that you could teach people getting into wakeboarding, or, like, a bit of advice you could give them?
Ooh, well, I mean, like, you're not talking about, like, a specific, like, tricks or anything.
Well,
I think the biggest thing is just, like, time on the water. Like, just spending as much time. Yeah. Yeah, like, the more time you spend in the water, like, the more comfortable you're going to be.
What's the biggest thing you see people doing wrong when they're trying to learn how to wakeboard, or, like, how to do tricks or how to push themselves?
Probably not holding their edge through the wake. That's, like, the biggest thing. Like, yeah, you say it so much, like, hold that edge all the way through.
Cause like me, that I wasn't doing that. Literally.
No, dude, you were ripping.
I was like, stop, start.
No, you were ripping. Yeah, but that's the one thing, is, like, you want your edge to be, like, progressive. So you want to start out, like, you know, slow, and then, like, build your speed up as you go through the wake.
Mm.
But a lot of people, like, let off that edge last second and it just, like, kills all the pop.
Yep, know all about that.
But yeah, I was like, everyone coaching is just like, I guarantee everyone's just, like, constantly, like, hold that edge through the wake.
I'm trying, man.
Yeah.
It's funny as well when you see stuff on videos, like obviously follow you and watch what you do and see all the crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you get out there on a boat and you just pull a double flip first go.
Yeah, yeah.
And like me and Hayden were there, we're just like, what do you mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What do you mean? Like you didn't even warm up. You just you just did it straight off the bat. It's just that's your norm.
Yeah, yeah.
How does that, does that even feel like anything now? Or does that just feel like just ticking another box? Like,
dude, no, it's pretty comfortable now. Normally, not gonna lie. Normally, when I'm riding, I'll do like a couple like warm up tricks or like a couple like warm up jumps. Like, I just did that double flip first hit because there's a contest coming up. So like, yeah, I was like practicing like my runs, you know. So if there's a contest coming up, like I'll just go straight into my run, because like in a contest you don't get warm up hits or whatever, you know. You just got to go straight in. So that's what I try to do if there's a contest coming up, get straight into it. Normally I do a couple of warm-up jumps, though, make you feel better.
So there's no warm-ups, just straight?
Just straight in.
That's gnarly.
Yeah. You guys get to mountain biking, you get to...
Oh, I guess it's...
Like you get, like, practice runs?
We have practice runs, but yeah, then, like, on race day, we do two practice runs in the morning, then there's, like, a three-hour gap, and then we go straight racing.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
But still, there's, like...
Yeah, that's sweet, though.
You kind of get to know what... Yeah.
Yeah. But some contests will have practice days.
Mm.
But it's typically, like, the day before the contest. So, like, on the contest day, like, yeah, the only time you're riding is, like, when you're competing. Just straight in.
Straight into it.
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought. I was like, I know you're good, but then just to bust the double flip, like, first go at the wake, I was like, okay, that's what's up.
That's sick.
And when you actually see it as well, like, obviously everything in person is way
nicer. Yeah, yeah.
And you watch it on Instagram, YouTube, wherever you do watch it.
Yeah.
What comps do you have coming up, and what's the goal kind of going into these next comps?
Yeah, so the next contest is like at the end of May, and then that's when like really like the season kicks off over in the States. So then we'll have like through like the end of September, we'll have like 10 more contests. It'd be sick, dude. I just want to go hard this year. Like, do as good as I can, just see how it goes.
How physical is it? Like, what's your training like as you go? Are you just riding all the time? Are you in the gym? Are you cycling? Like, what's your... Like,
yeah, just... So, honestly, I don't do, like, a lot of, like, workouts. I want to do some more, like, cardio stuff for sure. Yeah. I don't want to, like, lift weights and, like...
We just bench 90.
I know, dude. We just hit a bench set. It's pretty sick. I haven't benched in, like, 3 years, bro.
Just throwing it
down. Yeah, but, like, no, I used to lift weights and stuff a lot. The thing is, I don't want to get, like, much, like, bigger. I just want to get, like, toned. So I want to do more cardio stuff for sure. But honestly, I'm just, like, riding a ton and just, like, focusing on, like, recovering. Like, just, you know, like, sauna, ice bath, stretching out and stuff.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, I just got some leg compression sleeves.
Oof.
Pretty gangster.
Oof. Wear those at Corey's, look out at the Pav.
Yep. Look down at the Pav. But yeah, honestly, I just focus a lot on recovery, and that gets me feeling good for the next ride.
Yeah, and then just use it as training is training when you're actually behind the boat.
Yeah. Yeah, when a contest is coming up, normally just ride in. A lot of times we'll ride like twice a day, but just do quick ones, just try to like do our stuff and then be done. And then like outside of the contest, riding, like, you probably take it a little more chill, like, do some more fun stuff, you know?
What was the thing you did the other day, the roll?
No, yeah, a tumble turn.
Tumble turn.
Wait, was that when you guys were on the boat?
No, it was the day after.
Yeah.
So tumble turn is when you go out, like, wide on the boat and literally just throw your body at the ground, roll and bounce back up on the wave.
Yeah, you, like, slide on the water with your back. I didn't really slide, though. I kind of, like...
Kind of sunk a little
bit. Yeah, I kind of sunk a little bit.
That's all right. I mean, you still got it.
But it was
still
fun. Claim it. Yeah, just fun stuff like that, you know? Just having fun.
I was going to say, I was going to draw back to the question about when's the most scared you've ever been, but I'll change it because this is a question I actually ask in the pod always, but what are you actually scared of?
Ooh. Scared of... Dude, probably, like... I mean, was everyone say dying?
No, it's always different.
I think I'd be pretty scared to die just because there's things that, like, I haven't done yet, you know? Like, I feel like people, like, some people, like, when they're older and stuff, they'll say, like, they feel like they've, you know, made, like, a strong impact or whatever. But I feel like there's a lot more that I want to do before.
What do you really want to do?
Before I'm out. Dude, I don't know. I just, like, have so many, like, goals and ambitions, like. just make sick videos, do more wakeboarding, you know? So it would just suck to be out peace now. Out, you know?
True.
Yeah.
If you could go back and talk to younger Thomas,
yeah,
what advice would you give him?
Oh, probably just say that it'll all work out for sure. Cause there's a lot of times, like the first year I lived in Florida where I'd get like so stressed making like nothing from wakeboarding. I'm like, dude, like this sucks. Like all this stuff, you know, just going through it. I'd probably just say like, just keep pushing, which like that's what I did. But yeah, having like known that would have made it like more chill. So yeah, there are a lot of times that I'd like stress out about like money and stuff, and yeah. True. But all works out.
What's the best?
What about you?
What's that?
What would you go back and say?
Read more books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think I read as much as a kid.
Yeah.
And I should have read more.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a big thing. Read more books. Yeah. Write down more things.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do it more now, but if I could go back, I'd probably.
Yeah.
Really try and do that more.
For sure. Oh, maybe be myself too. Which now I've like grown into that, you know, like I'm chill now with everybody. I'll be crazy or whatever. But I feel like it took me a while to get into for sure. I remember like when I was younger, like I really wanted to like have like a YouTube channel and stuff, but I was so scared to like talk to the camera and all that. I don't know if you were like that at first as well with like talking and like sharing stuff like that. But yeah, I used to definitely like care what people thought about me. So if I knew that earlier on and just like let it loose, I would have been a lot cooler earlier on, you know.
We would have been you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It
wouldn't
matter if it's cool or not. It's like you're being
you. Yeah, exactly, for sure.
And I guarantee that like, you would help people by being you.
Yeah. It's like, dude, I think when I go back to the States, I'm going to freaking shave a mohawk in my head just because I think it's funny and I don't care what people think. You know?
People normally like that, man.
Yeah, dude. Like, I literally just, like, do stuff because it's funny, you know? Like, dyeing my hair crazy, like, all that sort of stuff.
A leopard,
like,
couple of leopards.
Yeah, yeah, because, like, I think it's sick or whatever. I mean, I don't think a mohawk is sick. I think it's funny.
Yeah. But that comes back to those people, like, you're always smiling, you're always happy, you're always doing stuff. And
it
gives people the feeling that, like, they can be more of themselves.
Yeah, 100%.
By you being yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It rubs off.
Yep, 100%.
What's the best advice you've ever gotten?
Ooh, dude, bro, I should have taken this a couple months ago. My dad told me I should buy some Bitcoin. Now it's freaking through the roof.
Not even shitting at the last person that came on the podcast said the exact same
thing. Yeah, really? Dude, literally, my dad was like, yo, remember 2 months ago when I told you? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, dude, you would have been up like 15 G's or something. I was like, bro. But, dude, probably, I'm trying to think, my dad is a very big life lessoner. Like, we've had a whole lot of life lessons. There's so many that I'm trying to think of, like, a really solid one. Yeah, I mean, I feel like he would really just say, like, be yourself, too. Like, I feel like stuff that he would say, like, got me to open up. Like, I remember he would always tell me, like, I have, like, the personality to do, you know, anything, like, really open up if I wanted to, like, make videos or, like, all this stuff. So I feel like he's really the one that gave me, like, advice on, you know, just being myself and, like, not caring what other people think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just do your thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, when has been the lowest you've ever been and how did you pull yourself out of that?
Dude. Probably like, yeah, just like absolutely like wrecked, dude, is like trying some of those triple flips for sure. I remember there was a day that I went out and I tried, I think, 6 of them. This was just last year. And like, I'm just absolutely wrecked. This one I had a girlfriend at the time. So I go out and I'm just like wrecking my body for hours and hours. And I'm not even kidding, like, the rest of the day, I probably, like, spoke, like, 5 words. Like, the whole rest of the day, I was just, like, sitting like this, just, like, so, so bummed out. So just, like, physically and mentally just drained. And I remember, yeah, I remember I had a girlfriend because I felt so bad. I was like, sorry. Like, I'm just like, I was out of it for sure. I was so out of it. And just because, the fact that got me like so like that was just that I knew that I had to go out and do it all over again. And that's the part that sucked the most. I was like, I gotta go do it again. Gotta go do it again. But I never lost like sight of like the end goal, you know? I just knew like getting myself out of it. I don't know. It's one of those things like we talked about earlier. Like, it's in the past. It is what it is.
I guess you just keep showing
like,
up.
Like, yeah, I just got to keep showing up, you know, for sure.
When's the happiest you've ever been? And how have you stayed there?
Probably when I landed that thing, for sure. No, yeah, probably that day is probably the happiest day of my life, landing the triple flip. And wait, what else did you say?
I normally ask people, like, when's the happiest they've ever been and how do they, like, think they would stay in that happiness, like that.
Yeah.
I guess it's just in achieving almost seemingly impossible goals.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But that only comes, that doesn't come very often, you know?
Yeah, you got to find that happiness.
Yeah, but I think finding happiness, dude, is like just having solid friends around, just hanging out, like, yeah. I just love, like, yeah, I love my friend group. Everyone's so sick. Like, it's just a fun time always.
Supportive people.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish on this one, Mr. Thomas.
Yeah.
When you die, how do you want to be remembered?
Dude, let's see. I want to be remembered. Wakeboarding side of things? Someone who changed the game and someone that made a big impact on people through, most likely through like coaching stuff. And just like, really be like a really good athlete and like give back to like the younger kids and stuff, because that's how I always thought that was the coolest thing when I was younger, is seeing all these pros and stuff and like talking to them and having pros come to my house. I thought it was the craziest thing ever. So I really want to do a ton of that in my career. Cause I mean, I remember those days still. So those kids will as well. And, I think just overall as someone who, yeah, like outside of wakeboarding is just someone who's always positive, always kind to people, and yeah, just a kind, positive, fun person.
I think you did a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
I think when you got people coming up to you saying that they're just excited to be around you because you're always smiling and always happy. Like, yeah, that's the flow and effect of living like that.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, hopefully that.
How was the pod, man?
Dude, it was sick, bro. This is so sick.
I really appreciate it. It's cool. Yeah. Like I said, it's good when you can be around someone that generally lifts you up and makes you more excited about life.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I almost, it was funny before we came in and did this, like, because obviously we went out a little bit last night, mm-hmm. and then I got up super early to go to the gym.
Yeah.
And I was coming here, I was like, oh man, I need to. And I actually really need to have a nap. Yeah, and then, saw you, and you're like, let's do bench. Let's get, like, max rep, whatever. And I'm like, all right, the energy's back kind of thing. And, like, you lift people up, man.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, dude. No, you're fun to hang around, dude. you're sweet.
All right, should we go do some, what are we going to go do?
Should we go to the Pav?
Go to town? What do you think of it anyway? It was your first experience. You kind of went on a rainy Friday, so I think you need to
go. Yeah, the Pav, they're definitely, like, I could see the potential there, though.
There's potential there.
I know. I saw the potential last night. So maybe tonight. We'll probably have to run it back tonight.
I think so. I think it's probably the one. All right. That's all.
Right. Thanks so all much, right. You legend, bro. Dude, this is sick.
Cheers, boy. Woo.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.